Is from Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 33, beginning at verse 12. And in my version of the Pew Bible, it's page 92, but it'll be there or thereabouts. Exodus 33, starting at verse 12, Moses and the glory of the Lord. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Chapter 34. The Lord said to Moses, "Chisel out two stone tablets like the first ones, and I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Be ready in the morning, and then come up on Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and herds may graze in front of the mountain." So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets like the first ones and went up Mount Sinai early in the morning, as the Lord had commanded him, and he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed his name, the Lord. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation." Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshipped. "O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes," he said, "then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin, and take us as your inheritance." Then the Lord said, "I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome is the work that I, the Lord, will do for you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading this morning is taken from the letters of Paul to the Corinthians. It's in 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, starting at verse 7, and this can be found on page 1159 in the Pew Bibles. 2 Corinthians, chapter 3, starting at verse 7. The glory of the new covenant. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory, fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glory has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with veiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
I think I'll probably be supporting two of my children doing this triathlon tomorrow, but wherever you are on bank holiday, I hope you have a good one. If you've not planned for something to do and you've got access to a car, you might care to visit Chichester Cathedral. I think I've been there once or twice, once with my daughter to look at some works of art or the wonderful windows there. But the prayer of St. Richard of Chichester strikes me as particularly apt for what we're thinking about today. I'm going to suggest we have this as a prayer and meditation before I speak, and then at the conclusion of what I want to share from Exodus chapter 33 today. May we bow our heads to pray. Thanks be unto thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits thou hast given me, for all the pains and insults thou hast borne for me. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more dearly, day by day. Amen. It would be helpful to have your Bibles open, page 92, Exodus chapter 33, first part of Exodus 34. We're going to look also at another passage in the New Testament. I often have a conviction, in fact, I encourage all those preaching with me across the parish just to focus on one passage. It makes life easier, but for various reasons, my sermon is almost done for me by a retelling of a particular way the New Testament refers to Exodus chapter 33 and 34. So we're going to be looking at two passages today. If I might set the scene so that regular members just can realign themselves as to where we've got to and visitors can feel up to date, we're looking at the book of Exodus. It simply means freedom. It's appropriately titled because God's people were trapped in slavery in Egypt. And there's all sorts of ways we ourselves want to be free today. So this whole book has got a lot to teach us. But God's people were in horrendous degrees of entrapment and slavery, caught with things they couldn't get rid of. Isn't that often the case today? And they were under the cosh with Pharaoh and his many, many plagues. But God liberated his people from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. And we've enjoyed seeing how they've escaped in miraculous ways as the Red Sea was parted. And then God's on their side, so much so that the freedom they now enjoyed should be kept for them. And freedom is kept not by being completely free, but by living in certain ways that freedom can be maintained. and the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai comes to God's people. Oftentimes we can think that restrictions are just merely restrictions, but actually in God's providence, these restrictions or these commandments, these ways of living, are there for our blessing and for our good and for our total freedom, for our salvation. That's the Ten Commandments. It's not as Woody Adam once quipped, "I wish they were like the exam questions and I could attempt any three." No, all ten are there and are there to be heeded. God's people were in a good place. They were free. They'd been given good ways to live. And what did they do? I would commend to you listening to Jeremy King's masterly sermon from last week on the incident of the golden calf. Because it's striking that after all this goodness, all this blessing, all this seeming holiday with God, they then throw it all away. And things go badly wrong. That's the story of the golden calf. That was last week. And now we find them very nearly in the promised land, and Moses is having a Q&A or a question and answer with God. I get really annoyed if I can't get through on the phone to a customer services operator and you have to go through all these wretches. If you want one for this, you want two for that, you want three for that, and then by the end, if you get to about nine, you've forgotten which options, and then the last one, you have to listen to the whole wretched lot again. Or you have to wade through complicated documents and paperwork, and then at the end, rather than speaking to someone, there are FAQs, frequently asked questions, and you have to read all those to work out what's going on. Well, this is frequently asked questions, or this is a Q&A session with God. And Moses, and we're eavesdropping in on this conversation with God, asks some very interesting questions. The first one actually makes me feel rather good. It makes me feel like, yeah, Moses is really quite like me in lots of ways. Of course, in biblical theology, he's a type of Christ. Moses came then. Jesus is the one that surpassed him. The law comes from Moses. Grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. Yes, of course, he is, in that sense, a type of Christ in the Old Testament. We wait for someone far better. But at a human level, and Moses was human, he demonstrates, really, with his simple question, that actually he's actually just like me. And there's a real encouragement in that that we'll see in a moment. Moses' second question is perhaps, and someone has actually written this, probably the most powerful question you could ever ask God, ever. If Moses makes the first question seem, well, I'm like him, the second question makes me feel I'm not like him at all. I am way, way, way behind the pack. I had this experience in what was a particularly good park run for me yesterday. That's a 5K race, and there must have been a 10-year-old girl steaming ahead, much, much faster than me. And I thought, Mark, you might think you're doing well, but just get a life, you're not. And the second question from Moses is going to make us all realize we've probably got a lot of catching up to do. But challenges are good in life, aren't they? And then I'll come to the answer in a moment, because this Q&A session goes on for a couple of chapters in Exodus with God. Would be nice to eavesdrop in on this conversation, wouldn't it? Perhaps you've thought, I wonder, when I get to heaven, I'd really like to meet this person. I've got that question for them. Well, these questions come from Moses' lips, one that makes us feel good about ourselves, one that might make us feel we've got a lot of catching up to do. And the answer comes in very, very surprising ways. Suffice to say, God never gives us an answer. That might seem a hard thing to say, but I think I can justify it. God never gives us an answer. He gives us so much more. He gives us a person. So that's where we're going this morning. Without further ado, the question that gives us a degree of comfort that makes us feel, okay, if Moses was like that, I can see where he's coming from because I've got this question as well. It's a very honest, it's a very human question. It's there, verse 12 of Exodus chapter 33. You can see the question's coming. Moses is talking to the Lord. Verse 12 of Exodus 33, Moses says to the Lord, "You've been telling me lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said I've known you by name, and you've found favor with me. Well, if I've found favor in your eyes, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." In summary, Moses is wanting to know, is it going to be all right? Is your presence going to be with me? Remember the context. The whole Israelite community, including Moses, had let God down. A mistake had happened, and there was a fear that maybe slavery had happened in Egypt, freedom had come, God had rescued them. There were the laws and the commandments, and God, in a sense now, after they'd blown it, was unhappy with them. Is it going to be all right? Notice what comes immediately. No call waiting scenario here, no complicated answer. This one is really straight to the heart. Moses, you need to hear this verse 14. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. You can see that this anxiety is not just superficial, it's quite deep-seated, because Moses goes on again. He just, as it were, wants to check out this reassurance he's been given and says, look, actually, I would rather, just let me see if I've understood you right. If you're going to go with me, if you're not going to go with me, I'd rather stay here in this grotty place with you having me then go on to this good place and you're not going to go with me. You can see the sincerity and the honesty and the humility of his request. Verse 15, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? And then no call waiting. The answer comes back straight to the heart, straight to his point of need and anxiety. Are things going to be okay? Verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I've known you by name. Many people say to me, well, this whole Christian thing is just far too complicated. God can't possibly understand my situation, the worries I have, the concerns I've had, the failures I feel I've been through, that I know myself, that I can't tell anyone else. And because of all this, I'm just going to actually keep God at a distance. I don't need the surveys to tell me this because I think I can almost intuitively feel it myself. People often don't come back to church because they feel guilty that they've not gone back the following week, and that guilt just sort of builds up and they want to know, is it going to be all right? As if somehow God's checking up on them. Or maybe the vicar is. It's not actually about that. It's about you knowing that God's answer to your concerns, your anxieties, your frailty, your failures is, I'm with you. I'm going to give you rest. My presence is there with you. This question's okay. Moses is asking it. I'm glad Moses asked those questions because I certainly feel that. It might look good, but is God really with me? Yeah, he is. Not looking for virtue, not looking for prowess, not looking for anything. He's just wanting us to know that he's with us. Have you gotten that? Moses did, because in the very next breath, the very next Q&A, this question that goes on, he's uncertain about the first answer. Can I just check this out? Are you sure you're going to go with me? God answers again, yes, I will do. And then comes this really, really fast track, amazing answer question. It's there. Let me see if I got the verse right. Yes, it is. Verse 18. Moses is obviously emboldened. Having been flat on his face, he's now right on his feet, looking God in the eyes and say, show me more of your glory. That is the most powerful question in the whole scriptures anyone has ever asked God. Are you feeling that Moses is doing the park run quicker than you? Or doing the Christian life better than you? In this sense, he is. No one has got better than this. I'd like to think that the unsurpassed nature of this question has come from the real reality with which he was honest before God about his own concerns and questions. I somehow think, and this is just me reflecting, we don't ask these big prayers of God, Lord, show me more of yourself. Lord, help me to know you more. Help me to follow you more. Help me to be closer to you, because we've never actually fully come to terms with the fact that God loves us and accepts us. Moses found salvation. He knew he was healed. He knew God's presence was with him, and he wanted more. Remember the burning bush? Moses had that. Remember the escape from Egypt? Remember the parting of the Red Sea? I mean, that was some miracle to witness. Remember the Ten Commandments? Well, no, most of us forget them. Moses had all those and more. It's almost that he's addicted to wanting more of God. Show me your glory. Show me more of you. I'm being very frivolous and humorous now. Please forgive me. He's not saying more church services, more sermons, more religion. Actually, someone very profoundly said, if your religion makes you unhappy, get another one. I've actually got a lot of sympathy with that. But this is the Bible. Lord, show me your glory. As the race of life carries on, what other prayer is there worth saying? One day we're going to see him. Why wait till then? Why not ask him to show himself to us now? For us to know his blessings. That's what this is there for. Now, I did tease you that in this Q&A session, God, as it were, almost seems to keep quiet. And did you say, Mark, he doesn't give us an answer? Well, I'm not going to bother asking then if that's the case. He does give us an answer, yes, but he gives us much more than an answer. He gives us a person. Notice what happened after this Q&A session with the Almighty. Moses is speaking with the Lord. Moses then went back up the mountain. Verse 34, the Lord said to Moses, so I suppose he is answering. I want you to make a couple more tablets. The context and the story from Exodus is because of the golden calf incident, the Ten Commandments literally got smashed. The wedding certificate was ripped into shreds. And now a new certificate. You need to listen to last week's sermon to get the point of that. Now a new piece of paperwork is being issued. The covenant's being re-established. And Moses goes up the mountain again. Things are being put back together. Moses is with the Lord. And look what happens. You'll need to turn over to the end of the chapter. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. When Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant, because he had spoken with the Lord. This is underlined again in verse 35. The Israelites saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses put a veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. When you come to God in prayer, yes, he'll give you an answer, but he'll give you much more than an answer. He'll give you himself. And Moses found then, and many people find today, that change happens, that God happens, that there is a qualitative difference about you. Sometimes, and this is really, really amazing, that you can't tell yourself, that other people can see. Do you see what the scripture says? Moses was with the Lord. There was this conversation going on. The answers were coming. The tablets were being reestablished. And his face was radiant. Something had changed. Something had happened. Do me a kindness and turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that passage that Sharon read to us. We're just going to consider the last verse of that passage. 1159. Verses 17 and 18 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Paul refers in this passage to the very incident that happened in Exodus chapter 33 and 34. And he speaks about the ministry that is ultimately condemned, that's ultimately passing. This is glorious, dare I say it, even golden. If this ministry was glorious and golden, and that's passing, when the new ministry comes, and Moses was veiled before the Lord and his face was radiant, when we come to the Lord, our faces see God in Christ and we're transformed with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Spirit. So can I ask you, dear friends, whether you've known the Lord for a long time or whether you're searching, that the pathway is the same for us both. There is a degree of honesty and humility about searching our hearts. Do we want God to be with us? However it is in our lives, he says, I will be with you. And then the next question, show me more of yourself. Help me follow you truly and really. And when that happens, according to the ministry of the Spirit that will be given to us, not an answer, but a person, we will be changed from one degree of glory to another. And the genius is, just as Moses came down from the mountain, other people saw the difference. Others will see that too in us. Let's bow our heads to pray. Thanks be unto thee, my Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits thou hast given me, for all the pains and insults that thou hast borne for me. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly day by day. Amen.